psycho. It's gone. I repeat, it's gone. I've got nothing. I've got zero control. God help us.
Psycho, UHF comp check. Psycho, UHF comp check. Do you copy?
My name's Richard Curtie. I was one of the writers of The Martian Chronicles, which originally went out on BBC Radio 4 and is now available through Big Finish, and we're here helping promote the CD. The B7 Productions was the company that had this idea. They wanted to bring back Martian Chronicles because there had been a very old TV series done in the 80s, which at the time was great, but you look back and it was quite creaky. And the producer, Andrew Sewell, felt that really it needed to be retold to a modern audience. And the challenge was really to tell it in a way that when Ray Bradbury wrote the stories, obviously very little was known about Mars, and now a lot more is known about Mars. So the challenge was to really make it relevant and modern to a modern audience and yet keep those classic elements of Bradbury alive as well.
First man on Mars with a chili dog stand.
We didn't look close at the TV series because we didn't want... Partly there's a legal thing. If you get ideas from that, sometimes they filter through subconsciously. So we went right back to the text and we read the text closely. And we tried to grow bridge from there to the modern world. And it's interesting, where he was very... The stories are very much about the legacy and the terrible destruction that happened to the Old West with the New West coming in. It felt to us that the modern parallel, that post-colonial thing, felt very timely today, especially from an environmental stand, you know. What is the environmental legacy we're leaving behind, the West's leaving behind now? So it felt like the themes translated, not about Native Americans, modern Americans, but much more about the modern West and the dirty footprints it's left behind. So that felt like that theme would translate very well.
Is that gingerbread I can smell?
Yes. We bake gingerbread on a Tuesday.
It's British because we love British sci-fi and we think that there's no reason why everyone should have American accents. And especially in the futuristic world of Martian Chronicles, it felt that the Americans would not have a monopoly on space travel. Indeed, they don't now. The only way to get to the space station now is through the Russian jets, rockets. So we felt that America is losing its stranglehold on space. China is an emerging nation, India's emerging nation, European Space Agency. So we felt very confident saying this is a British space expedition. And I'd rather hear great English actors doing their thing rather than trying to impersonate Americans. And we felt quite passionately about that, actually.
I found a book in one of the villas. Its pages were tissue thin, pure silver.
It was a long collection of short stories, and some of them had quite contradictory interpretations and presentations of the Martians. So the first thing we had to do was to obviously decide which stories we were going to just ignore and which ones we were going to focus on. And it became about, we didn't want to just do a portmanteau piece with little stories put together. We wanted to do a drama that felt as if it had a coherent arc. And Captain Wilder became the crucial man in that journey, and it was following his arc as a man and then finding out which stories naturally slotted into that man's arc. And so that became the defining principle for us.
You've got a younger actor in part, playing a younger Wilder. I can't remember that in the book. Was that actually something that came from the book, or did you inject that as an extra device?
It was really just to show why Wilder became the man he did become, you know, based on a very traumatic thing in his childhood. It also meant we could link up with The Illustrated Man, which was another one-hour drama that BBC Radio 4 were doing. It meant we could do a really nice dovetail between the two stories. But really, it focused on... It meant we could say Wilder's arc from key moment in his childhood through all the way through that long, turbulent journey of his adulthood. It meant it really meant it was his story. I mean, I suppose now the great thing is it leaves open to do a Martian Chronicles 2, which selects a different number of stories and tells them through a different arc. It leaves that completely open. There's certainly enough material there.
Where are you? It's all right. I won't harm you.
Well, we wrote the audio effects into the script as if they were a character. They were a really important part of the script. We didn't just leave that as background effects. We wrote what the ambience was, what the spot effects were, you know, going into the Martian cities. We wrote carefully what the sounds would be, the moods of those sounds, the use of water, the types of echo, to try and say that the planet is a character. And we were very lucky because the sound production design, they did a fantastic job. They spent a long, long time on it, and they created this amazing cinematic soundscape with in your mind. And I actually think, in a way, because they use sound, it's almost better than visuals, because visuals are very pinned down, are very specific. Once you see it, that's what it is. Whereas when you suggest something with sound, it could still be many different things. It's interesting. And also, we didn't have to worry about costs. You know, when you're writing sci-fi and you write a description, you think, oh my goodness me, they're not going to be able to afford that. But on sound, it's like one sound's the same price as another sound. So,
Sam, it's the sirens.
Where did I go?
Just the sirens.
No, it was them.
I always read what I've written out loud. Not just with radio, not just with TV scripts. I write novels as well, and I always, at some point in that process, read it out loud to myself. In fact, my first novel, I read to my son as a bedtime story, one chapter a night, and that was incredibly instructive, because there's something about when you read words out loud, you realise what you can cut out. And unless you've actually read it out loud, often sentences are overwritten. So even today, I read something out loud to myself. I think my wife thinks I'm mad, because she just hears this voice burbling away from the study. But even having gone through that, when an actor reads it out, you kind of go, oh, no, they brought something else to it. I need to change that.
Radio 4, wasn't it? It was played on. Did it get a good response? Did you have any feedback from that at all?
It got a very good response. It's been repeated a number of times, got very good reviews, and we're trying to capitalise on that to get some more Radio 4 commissions away, like you do.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been great to talk. Last year for Amazon Audible, we did Jungle Book, a version of Jungle Book, which was very interesting to do. And now with the producers of Martian Chronicles, we're working on a rebooted Dan Dare series, which is great fun, really good fun. Because we're trying to say it is not the retro, old-fashioned World War II Dan Dare. This is the Dan Dare of the Tim Peakes and the Chris Hadfields. This is the Dan Dare of modern, heroic, British spacemen. And keeping all the great elements, keeping Digby and Peabody and the Meekhorn, keeping those, but actually really tackling it as a modern story.